You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am your co-host, The Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me, as always, is the man, Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, bro?
Man, we're up to about an inch of snow. It's snowing here in Oklahoma City. I got to work a little early so I could beat the traffic because, as you know, in Oklahoma, people lose their damn minds when any type of moisture hits the ground.
We don't see that much here in Oklahoma, man. So
dude,
when it starts hitting the ground, people don't know how to drive.
Yeah, it's rain or snow. It's like as soon as a drop of water hits the ground, I got to go 40 on the highway now. I'm like, dude, no, you can drive the same speed.
Well, for people that don't know, Floyd lives right outside one of the right there within the biggest city.
I live in the metro. Yeah, I live.
He lives
smack dab.
Yeah, smack dab in the metro of OKC, and I live about 2 hours southeast in a much smaller community. And it's actually not snowing here. It was supposed to start. My wife told me last night either 4 a.m. It was supposed to either start snowing here at 4 a.m. this morning or 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. I really didn't get her to specify.
It might be tomorrow because it started snowing here at 4 a.m.
Okay, yeah, that's probably what it is then. But yeah, dude, once that weather starts getting crazy, like, I remember when the ice storm hit down here, I think it was 2004, like, the whole community shut down for, like, 8 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am very fortunate because I work, right around the corner from my job is the house that I lived in before I started working there, and that's like my best friend lives there. So if it ever gets really bad, I have that place to go. About 20 minutes further, my sister lives away. I have that place to go. So I don't really ever have to come all the way home if it's like really really bad, but
right, yeah, you've got a couple of fail safes just in case.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's how it was for me when I was a firefighter. If all else fails, there was extra room at the first fire station I was at that you could always just stay there if you needed to.
Yeah,
and so luckily I never had to do that, but I live pretty close to. I lived pretty close to the first two fire stations I was at, so it was never a big deal. But yeah, dude. So yesterday, 2 days ago. This is Monday morning, 7:40 a.m., 11:12. Saturday, I worked on record. Now we don't know for sure, but my commentary co-host at WFC Wrestling for a Cause. Runs the website oklafan.com. That's oklafan.com. His name is C.M. Burnham, B-U-R-N-H-A-M. And what oklafan.com is it's a website that keeps track of all pro wrestling in Oklahoma. And he's got stuff on there from the old days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he could not find any proof that there was ever a wrestling show in Locust Grove, Oklahoma. So when we worked our show there Saturday, he said that it was the first documented wrestling show ever in that community. So that was really cool, man. And he said that He told me that there could have been a show there, and it just wasn't documented, but he said that he feels really confident that he would have been able to find something if the show was there. So if anybody listening on the off chance has some kind of proof or knows of a show that happened at Locust Grove before Saturday, be sure and write in on the show. But, man, dude, I seen a man by the name of Drake Gallows was about to get... he was about to get superplexed off the top turnbuckle by a guy named Morrison, and mid-air, they turned it into a swinging neckbreaker, dude. I had never seen anything like it. Like, everyone in the crowd stood up and was just like, oh my God, is he dead? Because it was insane, man. It was absolutely insane. I wish I would have had it on tape. We did record the show, so hopefully I can get a clip of that and share it to all the listeners. But, dude, it was insane. We're going to be back in Locust Grove in February, I believe. So anybody that lives in the Locust Grove area, be sure, come check us out. And I just wanted to put all that out there real quick. And the first question I wanted to ask you this morning, Floyd, is what's up with your boy Cody? Did he get hurt? Is it kayfabe? What's the deal?
Dude, he got legit hurt.
Really?
Like, yeah, he's been working a lot, and apparently it's one of those, so it had to be one of those working a lot injuries, like Seth Rollins had. He, you know, when he blew out his knee, it was because he had just, you know, he'd just been working too much and without taking a break. And Cody's pretty much been doing the same thing between the Jericho Cruise and everything. Well, it's Friday night, I'm watching ROH, and he does his entrance with Brandy, and he does his thing where he tears off his shirt, and then he goes to one side and goes to the other to see who he's going to throw the shirt to. And he just kind of, it wasn't that big a deal, but he kind of like, you kind of see him like pause, and then he throws the shirt, and then he works the match. I didn't think anything of it, right?
Right.
He comes on and says, last night, where I was going from left to right, not while he was wrestling. The pre-match walk to left, he said, I heard a pop. And he says, I'm hoping it's just a little meniscus so I can work Sunday. Well, Saturday, he had a show Sunday. Saturday, he actually put out that he wouldn't be working the show Sunday and they would find a replacement. So he's supposed to have an MRI this week. It's either a torn meniscus or an ACL.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just saying, based on my sports knowledge, if the only reason he wouldn't wrestle yesterday is if you could do more structural damage to the knee. The only way that would be the case is if it's a ligament.
So, but like, you're saying that maybe it could be like a strained ACL, MCL, or meniscus, right? Where like the doctor told him, hey, you lay up for 3 weeks and we can reassess and you might be all right.
I mean, it could be that.
Yeah.
But I feel like if it was a strain, he would have worked.
Really? You don't think,
yeah.
Even if it was like, you know, hey, I can kind of scale back for 3 weeks and not work, and then I can keep all my dates going forward, or I can try to tough it out and keep this date and potentially lose the next 6 months of dates. You know what I mean?
I am not the foremost expert on Cody, but I consider myself a pretty good. I literally, my phone goes off anytime he tweets, replies, or anything.
Right.
So I feel like I know Cody pretty well as far as his wrestling and just based on, and I'm pretty good at pattern recognition.
Okay.
He wouldn't miss it.
Okay.
I hope nothing's wrong.
Right.
I think he tore something.
I got you. Well, yeah, I definitely don't doubt you in your knowledge of Cody Rhodes, because I feel like it's second to none. I was just kind of playing devil's advocate there.
No, absolutely. Me personally, I'd rather him rest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, somebody was like, oh, he strained it. I would tell him to rest. He's one of those people, he doesn't have to work as much as he does.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
No, like, he goes to New England wrestling. He goes to these little... You know, like when he did pro wrestling from Hollywood, he doesn't have to do that. He has an ROH deal and a New Japan deal.
Right.
he's all right when it comes to money.
Yeah, and we know. I mean, I don't feel like he would kayfabe us on this. You know, his first full 12-month period outside of the WWE was the first time he made $1 million. So, yeah. I mean, unless he's just out there blowing money, I mean, he's got money. He's got money in the bank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's very comfortable.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like I said, he doesn't have to work as much as he does. So, yeah, I would tell him to work less. I thought that was the point of not being in the WWE.
Right.
You know, you get to work less. So.
Yeah, he's definitely enjoying his time out there on the indies. And man, yeah, I for sure, like you said, I hope it's not a tear. I hope it's maybe something that, you know, he can heal up for a couple of weeks or something like that. So you said it was just a fluke thing, him kind of rolling around.
Yeah, he was walking around.
Wow, walking. Man.
He was doing his little, he does the slow tear off the shirt. Because, you know, he was a big Hogan fan, so it's kind of his homage to him every time.
Right.
And then he goes, oh, I'm going to throw it to this side. Oh, I'm going to throw it to this side. And apparently when he went from one side to the other, that's when he tore his or hurt his knee. Right. Hopefully it's nothing tore. I hope there's no structural damage.
Yeah, man, that's crazy, truly.
I mean, he's so old school in his work ethic. Unless it was bad, he would have worked Sunday.
Yeah. Do you remember who worked against that match?
That match, I think Mark Briscoe.
Okay, cool.
Or no, if it was Friday night, I think Friday night it was the triple tag. It was him and Adam Page versus the Briscoes versus somebody else.
I got you. Did you see that Joey Ryan also got injured as well over the weekend, or sometime last week, rather?
Yes, I thought he was making fun of Triple H.
I did too the first time I seen it. And if you and I both thought that, there had to be other people out there that thought that too.
No, and then I found out it was real. And yeah. I was like, oh, damn, that's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, but so apparently in a match, he tore his left pectoral muscle. He's getting an X-ray or an MRI, I guess, when the swelling goes down a bit today. So we'll find out today. We'll be watching on Twitter. Best of luck to Joey Ryan. But, yeah, I thought that he was, you know, mocking Triple H, you know, because he posted the picture and he was like, tore my chest. Seems to be going around a lot these days, here lately, something like that. And, yeah, I just thought it was a joke. And then I read on, I think it was Wrestling Inc. or Pro Wrestling Sheet. I can't remember what website it broke the story. But, yeah, he really did injure it. And then you see the picture where, you know, you see all the bruising and everything. And then he's posted pictures of himself at the hospital and said he had to wait till Monday till some of the swelling goes down. But he still worked a match in a cast. Did you see that? I think he was working against like Hornswoggle in a tag match.
Hornswoggle was his tag team partner.
Oh, it was his tag team partner.
They wrestled against the Dirty Blondes on MLW.
Oh, okay. And he went ahead and worked it in the cast, man. You gotta love that work ethic, right?
Dude, it's one of those things when you're an independent contractor.
Uh-huh.
Like he is. He's not signed with any company. I mean, maybe MLW, he might get a steady check from them, but he's not signed with any company. So pretty much it's like when, you know, me, like, oh, I'm going to take Friday off. That's just the day he doesn't get paid.
Right.
And then he probably has insurance, but it's really probably really expensive, but shitty.
Yep.
And then they'll be like, okay, instead of $20,000 for your pectoral surgery, because you have insurance, you only have to pay like $8,000.
Right. Yeah, that sucks, man.
So
like,
he has to keep working.
Yeah, if you're that was going to be my next question, man. If you're Joey Ryan or someone like Joey Ryan, like I know he's either got a long term girlfriend or married. I can't remember which, but I mean, and you get that kind of serious injury. You know, and you're not Cody that's got two, you know, pretty good sized checks coming in, one from Ring of Honor, run from New Japan, and you're not Triple H and married into the family that's worth $1 billion. like, man, are you going to be toughing it out? Hopefully, in those situations, you hope that Joey Ryan's phenomenal with his money, right?
Yeah, this is the reason your favorite wrestlers sign with the WWE when it doesn't seem to be what's best for their career.
That's such a good point, man. I'm glad you said that.
I mean, WWE's $1 billion company that provides their employees insurance.
Right, right. And, you know, that's the same for all pro athletes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're out on the free agent market and you get hurt, like, you can't use a team's facilities or anything like that. I can't remember who was saying it, but I think it was on Fox's NFL morning kickoff yesterday. They were talking about Dez. Dez tore his meniscus that he tore just in the second day of practice with the New Orleans Saints. And
he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, his Achilles, not his meniscus, his Achilles. Yeah, you're right. No, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And he's a little older. You don't bounce back from Achilles tendons that quick.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And I think they said the timetable's looking at like 6 or 8 months, which, you know, well after the Super Bowl, and they're an honest team they're looking at an honest Super Bowl run, you know. But anyway, the good thing, they said the one positive thing coming out, I mean, not that Dez, you know, was hurting for money in any way, shape, or form, but because he signed with the New Orleans Saints, he gets to use their facilities to work out. I think they pay for the surgery. And he's going to get, I think his contract guaranteed him $600,000. And if they go and win a Super Bowl, he still gets a ring. You know what I mean? So, all those things, you know, if that would have happened when he was working out and he was still on the free agent market, things would be a lot different for Dez right now. That's the whole reason I brought that up. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. It's like, yeah, I mean, he's taken care of. He's not going to have to pay a penny out of pocket for anything they do as far as that surgery.
Right.
The surgery, the physical training, the rehab, he can use their facilities. I mean, his contract with them is up, but because he got hurt while he was playing, he can still has access to all of that.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's the one good thing about, you know, being signed with the team, you know?
Yeah, and it's the same way in the WWE. When you hurt, in the WWE, let's say you're like Seth, he gets his low end, whatever his minimum on his guaranteed contract is, and he gets all his merchandising while he's not while he's at home, and they're paying for all his medical care.
Oh, dude, I didn't even think about that. Seth's still getting merch. I didn't even think about that. That's cool. Yeah, the one thing you hope about Joey Ryan is maybe there will still be some people that bring him in on some bookings and pay him and let him sell his merch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I don't know. Pictorial's usually like 4 to 6 months. I don't think it'll fix the penis party in WrestleMania, but let's say it does. Him just being at the penis party is the part. You know what I mean? He can just be a host and then have the wrestlers there. It's like whenever your wrestler gets hurt, I always tell people, if you're not comfortable, like, giving them money, if they do one of the crowdfunding things, go buy a shirt. Well, Jordynne Grace is one of my favorite female wrestlers, and she hurt her foot. And she was like, buy stuff. I bought like 5 8x10s. I have no use for 5 8x10s from Jordynne Grace. But that's how she pays for her surgery.
Right. Yeah, so I just recently, at All In, whenever you told me that, you know, she was your favorite female wrestler and you showed me what she looked like, and then we got to see her work and, you know, how she went up with a... Didn't she powerbomb? Was it a powerbomb that she gave to Brian Cage during the over the budget battle royal?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. I immediately followed her on Instagram after that, and I've been keeping up with her. And that girl puts in the work in the gym, bro. She is stout, Jordynne Grace. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. She's super strong. And if you ever follow her on Twitter, she's very witty.
Yes, she is.
Like, I don't agree with everything she says, but she's really, really funny. And she's a very witty chick, and, you know, and she dates Jonathan Gresham from ROH, and she is very outwardly in love with that man.
that's cool.
That's, I mean, like one of her posts, she's like, he's the best wrestler in the world. And I'm like, I'm not gonna disagree with you because you know that's your dude. You're supposed to think your dude's the best in the world, you know?
Right. And even if you don't, yeah, you're supposed to be posting that.
Yeah, you're still supposed to say it. So it's kind of awesome. And like I said, she's really cool. And I found out that we actually share a friend in common. My friend Jeff, who's in the club, and he's actually one of the admins in the club. He used to do some commentating at a local wrestling company in Austin. And he knew Jordan Grace.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I don't even know if she would remember me. But, yeah, I worked and knew around. She was a student. Because she started training when she was 13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's like, just turned 22 or 23 and has been in wrestling for 10 years. And she put this post that says, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
I like it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, but she's freaking awesome. I've learned more about wrestling following people on Twitter, and like Selena De La Renta, she tore her ACL and she was working on it, and still doing MLW her talking roles for like a year until she could save up enough money to fix it.
Oh God, man, you hate to hear stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
That sucks. So, and now I do know Selena De La Renta. I've never actually met her personally, but she's done some stuff for World Class Revolution in Oklahoma, and I can't remember who she had a match with, but I was on commentary for it. I never actually got to talk to her in person. This was post match commentary that I laid the track for, but I talked to her on Twitter about it. You know what I mean? Got some info from her. So she was super nice when I spoke to her privately. I didn't talk to her face-to-face. It was through private messenger, but she was super nice. I did not know that about her, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was like, you know, she had a cane on TV because, you know, her teeny knee was jacked. And it was like, so she finally got the surgery. And, you know, she's selling her 8x10s and all that stuff. And I'm like, buy, you know, if you're a fan, buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you're not a fan, if you got a little extra money, buy it. I'm pretty, you know, I have a lot of stuff in my house, my place I live, but it's only like a one bedroom apartment. So I kind of got to be picky with what I buy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Those 8x10s I bought from Jordan. They're all signed. I'm probably going to give them out on the show, you know, at some point. It's just that she's, like I said, she's just a cool person. I actually, like, I had seen her work a couple times and I was a fan, but I'm more of a fan of her attitude on Twitter and how she is than I am as, you know, her as a wrestler, which I think she's a kick-ass wrestler too. But, it's like, okay. You know, it's just when you look at these wrestlers online, especially people that aren't big, you know, that aren't with, you know,
a ROH big company or something.
Japan's. Yeah. Like, there even a difference. Like, let's just say you would say, I'm trying to use someone that, use someone like Barrett Brown, right?
Okay.
Barrett Brown is really good. And then, you know, but if he hurts himself, Barrett Brown is not really tied with any major company.
Right.
So, he's probably just, you know, he's saving up and getting it fixed.
Right, right.
As opposed to Adam Page, who's with ROH and works ROH in New Japan, they're probably, his insurance is going to help, but they're probably going to help him fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, because they've got money vested in him, you know, for one thing, and or, you know, Adam Page might have got it in his contract. That could have been something that he wanted, you know, with peace of mind if he ever got hurt, that, you know, they would support him through the injury or whatnot. So you never know, you know. That's kind of one of the downsides. I think all of us get in the mindset of thinking once you become a professional athlete that, you know, if you get hurt, you'll be taken care of. Well, not always in this sport, you know.
Not always.
Yeah.
It's not always, and it's just like, that's why it's important. Buy the 8x10s, do the autographs, you know. Don't try to, I mean, big thing with me is I hate the airport people. That's just me personally.
Right.
If you're an airport person, I apologize, but I'd hate it because you're standing in the airport because you're trying to get that crap for free.
Right. Right.
That's not supporting the wrestler. I want people to support the wrestlers, because if you're not in the WWE, you know, a lot of this stuff is just coming out of pocket.
Right. Right. Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break, my friend. I got to get some coffee, and we will get into our final topic of the day, which is you're going to break down War Games 2, NXT TakeOver War Games 2 for me, right, bruh?
Yep.
All right, man. All right, guys, we will be right back in just a second. And we are back, ladies and gents. Sorry about that. Had to get some coffee refreshments and had to stretch the old legs for a minute. I forgot to tell you, dude. I got a personal, in addition to being at the Wrestling Academy, training full-time, I now actually have a one-on-one wrestling tutor that I'm going to see at least once a week. Just one-on-one, just in-ring time. No running drills or anything like that. Just working on rolls, working on holds, working on any type of moves whatsoever, man. So I am jumping headfirst, all in, trying to do everything I can to learn the business right and to get in the ring, dude. I'm doing it all, my friend.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that's the way, like, that's what Eva Marie had to do eventually to get, you know, when she was trying to get on the level. And then that's what Ronda Rousey did when she first started training.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's super cool.
See, Brian Kendrick actually trained her.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I met a guy. I cannot remember his name because he's in a different academy of class than me, but we were doing warm-ups one day, and he started out training at a Brian Kendrick school. I don't necessarily think he was training directly underneath Brian Kendrick, but I think Brian Kendrick is somehow associated with a school somewhere in the United States. I don't know if it was Texas, California, or what. It seemed like he said that he was from California, but he originally started there and then moved to Oklahoma and enrolled in this academy. But apparently Brian Kendrick's a pretty big name when it comes to training. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. I have a friend that's training at Booker T school right now, and I told him when he's done there, I was like, I told him to pick another school. I told him, I would get as trained as possible, make as many contacts as possible, and then, you know, kind of start working at that point.
Right, right. Yeah, that's really cool. If he wants to get in the business, the absolute best school you can be at right now is the one he's at Booker T school. You know, I get to work with, you know this already, but for anybody that's new to the show or hasn't heard me talk about it before, I work full-time on commentary at Heroes of Wrestling in Roy City, which is a suburb of Dallas. And about 50-60% of our roster, our talent roster, is guys coming up from Houston that are graduates of the Booker T school. And those guys, they know what they're doing, man. They are absolutely phenomenal, man. Two of my friends, Brock Baker and Will Alday, I've actually become good friends with them too, and they're both graduates of the school. They're freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, and definitely. And, you know, of course, he's a pipeline to the WWE. So, I mean, a lot of people he trained in the WWE are there. Usos, Ember Moon, to name a few. Booker T knows what the hell he's doing when it comes to that wrestling thing. And, you know, when you're down there, you're there with a bunch of people at different levels. I know Jordynne Grace actually works for Reality Wrestling when they do their ladies' night out. She works there. Then I have my friend Jenna Lynn. She is a trainee there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, a female that I've become good friends with that I've carpooled with to Arkansas to a show in Arkansas. I work commentary, and she actually worked. Who did she work? Tennille Dashwood who she worked, but Miranda Alizé. Miranda Alizé is her name, and she was already trained, and I forgot somehow she got hooked up with a trainer at Booker T's school, and she got actually went in there and did some extracurricular training through there. So she credits Booker T for a lot of her training as well. So that's really cool as well. But anyway, yeah, so hopefully, and when I say that I've got a one-on-one tutor, I don't mean that I'm trying to find a shortcut or anything. Like, I'm trying to learn everything precisely, so maybe that might speed up, you know, the time until I can get in the ring. But either way, it'll help me where I know everything I need to know front and back, side to side. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
So our final topic of the day is the biggest one, and that was, I hit you up early this morning, and I was like, man, we got War Games coming up. It's coming up this Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And we will do our, once it gets a little bit closer, probably after, this week's NXT show, you know, sometime Thursday or Friday or whatever, we will do our prediction show. But I wanted to see if you could give me a lowdown on the backstories of each one of the matches leading into this, because I have not been able to watch NXT as much as I wanted to.
So, absolutely, and NXT is what I watch.
Yeah.
Oh, more than anything.
Real quick, how are you liking NXT UK? That's already premiered on the network,
oh, yeah.
Right?
It's freaking amazing. It's very much UK storytelling, UK characters. One of my favorite UK wrestlers, Zach Gibson. He is my favorite UK wrestler. UK's number, Liverpool's number one, Zach Gibson. When you think of heel in professional wrestling, is the definition of it, and he's amazing in the ring. Plus, they got Pete Dunne, who might clearly be the best wrestler in the world. I would argue that top five easily, because he doesn't know how to have a bad match. You know, you got Tony Storm, who might be one of the best wrestlers in the world. You know, and you got the tag team division that's starting to heat up now. It's amazing. Then, of course, they got the young up-and-comer. I'll tell anybody about Rhea Ripley any day. The Australian, 6 foot Australian, she is amazing. And
what's her,
like,
name again?
Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. I'm gonna have to look her up, because I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you, I don't think I've ever heard her name before.
Yeah, she's 6 foot Australian, just juggernaut, badass. Like, when you look at her, she looks like she can beat people up, and I tell people that. Especially with women's wrestling, and I don't mean to single it out, but especially with women's wrestling, I need you to have that you can kill me if you're going to be a heel.
Right.
I need to feel like, even as a dude, I don't think I can take you.
Now, do you do any exceptions whatsoever? Like, if you look at, like, Alexa Bliss, she doesn't necessarily, you know, give that feeling of, oh, she would kill me or you, but I still find her as a credible heel because she's such a good trash talker. Do you feel that way, or?
Yeah, she is the cocky, cowardly heel.
Gotcha.
Stuff. So it works for her size, but it's just something about having a presence. Shayna Baszler.
Oh, yeah.
The moment you saw Shayna Baszler, you're like, she's about to hurt someone.
Yep.
Before you ever heard her talk, before you ever seen her do her move, the moment she walks through, she's a big effing deal. I said the same thing about Miko Satomura. And I was like, not a lot of wrestlers can have it. Rhea Ripley has it. The moment you see her, you say, she's a star. Not knowing anything about her.
Yep.
So that's what I was like. She has a presence. Is the word. It's not even that it factor, because I think that it is this, a different thing. To me, the it is when you put the mic on your, you get the mic in your hand, and, you know, you can't, like, literally, you just, like, want to hear what this person has to say. But that presence, that look that you have, is a whole different thing.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
If you're not watching NXT UK, the last few weeks they put out two episodes at a time, so they got about seven episodes. You can do a good catch-up on it. It's so good. They had a Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch match last week, 4.5 easily from me. And it's just like, it was such a good match. And
really? They're putting on that badass of matches, and it's just a regular TV week, and they're putting on 4.5-star matches. That's intense, bro.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. That's why I got into Progress. It was like they were, like when I was watching Progress, they'd have 7 matches and 3 would be 4-stars. You know, the in-ring quality of work was so high on Progress that it kept me watching. And it seems like on the UK division that's what they're doing. Wow. Like they had a main event with Zach Gibson and Noam Dar, and they tore it down. Oof, they tore it down.
That sounds like a badass
match. And it wasn't even for a title. It wasn't even for a title. It was just like, hey, I'm better than you. You know, and it's very much old school wrestling, and I dig it. And like, oh man, if you're not watching NXT UK, you know, you should be.
We'll definitely be talking about it a lot more in the future. And I promise I know I keep saying this, but I'm going to get to where I'm watching both NXT shows every week so we can talk more about it during the week. So I will get on that ASAP. Let's start off with Aleister Black versus Johnny Gargano. So talk me up, man. How did we get to this point where they're having a match at TakeOver?
Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano. So this is started with the feud with Gargano and Ciampa. Gargano couldn't beat Ciampa, and then Ciampa said he was going to, he got a title shot against Aleister Black. Gargano said no matter what, he couldn't let Ciampa become champion. He ended up costing Aleister Black the championship. Well, then Aleister Black got jumped. And he got jumped. And because he got jumped, he didn't get his rematch at Ciampa. And it was Gargano versus Ciampa for the title at TakeOver Brooklyn. Well, as to sum it up, Gargano is the one that attacked Aleister Black. The reason Gargano attacked Aleister Black is because he felt like he had to be the one to take the belt off Ciampa. It couldn't be anyone else. Aleister Black's like, you cost me months of my career and you cost me my title. I got to mess you up now. And he even told his wife, you know, I got to hurt him, basically. And
he told Gargano's wife that?
His wife, yeah. He called Tenzin Ray, I got to hurt him. And so that's what it looks like. It's going to be Aleister Black versus Johnny Gargano. Right now it's a straight up match, which is cool. I think it's, you know, it's one of these things. I set the bar at 4-star.
Gotcha.
I just think it's going to at least be a 4-star. But cause these boys can wrestle, it's a feud. It's Johnny Gargano thinks he was justified for attacking him. Aleister Black thinks Johnny Gargano has done nothing but screw him. Let's fight.
I like it. I absolutely like it, man. Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane are actually having a 2 out of 3 falls match, correct? For the NXT
Yes.
Women's Championship. How did we get there?
So this is Baszler, Kai, this will be 5. Because the first match they had was at last year's Mae Young Classic. And Kairi Sane, I was at last year's Mae Young Classic.
In the championship, right?
Yeah.
And Kairi Sane won.
Then Shayna became the champion, and then they had a match on the NXT regular TV, and Shayna Baszler won.
Okay.
And then they had a match for the title at a takeover, and Kairi Sane won. Then Shayna Baszler just won it back at the last takeover. So Shayna Baszler was the first ever 2-time champion. So their series is 2-2. The four horsewomen got involved in the last match. So Shayna and the horsewomen are actually hanging around each other now and everything. So to break the tie in their 5th match, it's going to be 2 out of 3 falls.
Do you think this will be the blow-off right here? Or do you think it continues after this?
Blow-off. I think it'll be the blow-off.
Yeah. These two really jive in the ring together, don't you think?
they really do drive in the ring. The only problem is I felt like the first match was good. I thought the second match was good. I thought the third match was, like, great. And then I felt like the fourth match they had was the exact same thing as the third match.
Really?
Yeah. So they're going to have to do something to make it different for me.
We'll definitely be talking about that more in the future. Now let's talk about the NXT Championship match. And the man that I'm going to name my next son after, Tommaso Ciampa versus Velveteen Dream. How'd we get there, man?
Dream has been on a steady climb in NXT. He had the whole feud with Aleister Black to say his name. Cassius Ohno to show that he could perform. He had the he was in a five-star match when he was in the ladder match for the North American Championship.
Okay.
Then, but his biggest win, he lost. He beat EC3. And then his biggest win was a regular NXT match against Johnny Gargano, and William Regal awarded him the title shot against Tommaso Ciampa. Now, this week, Lars Sullivan was pissed because Dream got the match over him, so they had a match. And in the middle of the match, where it looks like Dream was about to beat Lars Sullivan, Ciampa came out, and Dream attacked him, and then Sullivan got the better of Dream when he was attacking Ciampa. Like when he got back in the ring and caught him with a freak accident. And then Ciampa tried to beat up Dream after the match, and he hit him with that DDT and then hit him with the elbow and basically let him know that he was telling him to take the belt. This is very old school. This is like, remember young Barry Windham and kind of Ric Flair? It's the young kid versus the crafty, no moral having veteran champion. And it's like, it's like, okay, Velveteen Dream, okay, you look at him. He's 6'4", he's 240, 250, shredded, he's got charisma. And then Tommaso Ciampa is like, but I'm going to beat you anyway, kind of thing. Because what I'm going to do that you won't do is whatever it takes.
It's the young Brahma Bull versus the old crafty bull, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Me personally, I've been all in. I was like, I think Velveteen Dream should hold the championship once. But right now, it's like when you have a hot hand, you ride the hot hand. And Tommaso Ciampa is the hottest heel in the world right now.
Oh, God, isn't he? He so is, dude. He's the man, dude. I love him.
I don't even think it's close.
Yeah. If you had to put someone, the next hottest heel in wrestling, who would it be? Or in WWE, I'm sorry, NXT or WWE, main roster or NXT.
I would put The Miz.
The Miz is second to Tommaso?
Yes. Yeah, but The Miz have people that cheer him. Ciampa, everyone hates him.
I know, isn't that crazy? I was surprised when they started selling his shirt, because I actually liked it. Like, it was old school. He wasn't even selling merch.
Dude, he didn't have music.
Yeah. his name would just pop up. Ciampa.
And then he would walk out. Yeah, that dude is like super heel.
Yeah, he's the man, dude. Finally, we have the second War Games match, which is Undisputed Era versus Ricochet and Pete Dunne versus the War Raiders. This is, four on four. That's right. Yeah, War Raiders, Ricochet, Pete Dunne versus the four members of Undisputed Era with the returning Bobby Fish, correct?
Yes.
Has Bobby Fish already made his return in ring, or will this be his first match back?
No, this will be his first match back.
Got it.
He's interfered in matches, but it hasn't been an actual in-ring match yet.
Gotcha. So how did we get to this point where we had to get War Games involved?
So it's all about the North American title. Like, and it's funny because I was surprised in this match. Because they tied up three titles. You have the UK champion, the North American champion, and the tag team belts all in one match. I think that's a reason that this show is only going to be four matches.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Because all the belts are tied up. When you look at this group, it started with Ricochet. It started with Adam Cole winning the title at in the ladder match, the North American title. Then he had a feud with Ricochet where he beat him. Well, Adam Cole wants his title back, and he had this match. Ricochet had the match with Pete Dunne. And had a match, a triple threat match with them too. And, you know, Pete Dunne got pinned. And then Ricochet had a match with Pete Dunne, and Adam Cole didn't like it, so he interfered. So it's all about those three, all about the North American title. Well, the War Raiders haven't got a fair shot at the tag belts from the Undisputed Era. So to the point where they finally got their match, and then that's when Bobby Fish came in, interfered, and, you know, the Undisputed Era got disqualified, but Bobby, you know, it announced Bobby Fish was coming back. So you got really two different feuds inside the factions. You got the Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne versus Ricochet feud. Then you have the three-man, maybe split tag team, where you got Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Roderick Strong against the War Raiders. So that's really how we got here.
I like it, dude. I like it. How do you feel about the War Raiders, man? War Machine on the indie scene were badass. I have not seen too much of their stuff in NXT.
They've only had two televised matches.
Really? So they're kind of keeping them under wraps still?
Yeah, and it's just like, they're the badass, they're the killer team, so, you know, it's generally, you can have them kill people or whatever if you want to, but it's not really necessary. They have enough of a cachet.
Yeah.
To people know what they can do.
Gotcha.
You don't need to see the War Raiders squashing people, because you know what the War Raiders can do. So, I like them. I like them in NXT. I'm one of those, it's funny, I love NXT products so much that I don't really spend a lot of time trying to guess what's going to happen next, because I kind of trust that it's going to be good.
Right. You're like a 76ers fan. You're trusting the process.
Trusting the process. Like, when I watch the WWE Raw and SmackDown, I don't trust that process. So I'm constantly guessing, constantly trying to come up, constantly trying to add reason to what they do. But in NXT, it's always good. So I'm just enjoying it.
Right. I love it, man. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for the breakdown, man. I'm going to try to catch both NXT shows this week, so it'll be all fresh in my brain going into War Games Takeover, which is this Saturday, right? This coming
yes.
Saturday? So
correct.
That'll be absolutely sweet. We are almost out of time, my man.
No,
so why
not
don't you...
this coming Saturday.
Hold on. Uh-oh.
It's 2 weeks.
Two Saturdays from now.
Yes.
I got you. Well, I was just about to say that we're almost out of time, so why don't you tell everyone that's listening today where you spend your weekends at, my man?
Hold on just a second before I do this. Nope, you are right. Tonight's the go-home show.
Tonight
is the go-home show for Survivor Series. So it's been so many shows so quick. You're absolutely right.
Well, yeah, they had the Australia show, they had Crown Jewel, or Evolution, then Crown Jewel, and then now Survivor Series, all in like 4 weeks or something.
I don't even feel like the Survivor Series has been built.
No, it really hasn't.
No, like, it's like, but the show's Sunday. I thought they had two more weeks of build. That's my bad. I got lost. I was telling my friends, like, me and my friends were having a conversation, and I literally told them Survivor Series is in 2 weeks yesterday. This is me finding out that it's 6 days from now.
Oh, man, you're going to have to get on the horn and correct that, man.
Yeah, dude, I've been working too much. So I'm off Saturday now, so that's awesome. So I can actually watch TakeOver. But, yeah, every Sunday I put up my show. This week, I didn't honestly didn't get it up until this morning. I have been working nothing but 12-hour days. So yesterday when I recorded, I was sleepy. So I was like, dude, I was like, I don't even sound right now. I'm like, I can feel it. So no, but it's called Around the Ring. It's me and my friend Ryan Aaron. We drop the show generally every Sunday. We might actually drop the show this week right after Survivor Series, so we can just go straight into our show. Might just be a review of Survivor Series. So that, but I don't know. We'll decide this week. But Facebook.com, Twitter.com, Around the Ring OK. Send your emails to aroundthering@gmail.com. I would love to answer your questions because I have an opinion about everything.
And we love it. We absolutely love it, man. That's why me and you do a show 5 days a week, because I love to pick your brain about pro wrestling. Everyone out there listening, don't forget to follow Floyd, myself, Around the Ring OK, and Indie Wrestling Radio on all social media platforms. We appreciate y'all tuning in so, so very much. We will be back tomorrow on thechairshot.com at 11:30 a.m. for Floyd and myself. Stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?